with somebody. We got some back there. We'll give you one. If you have your Bibles, I ask you to turn with me this morning to Joshua chapter number 8 this morning. I want to preach what the Lord has laid on my heart and what I believe would be good for all of us today. And I don't know where you're at with the Lord. I don't know what you have going on. But I do know this. We still have a God on the throne. Amen. And He'll always be on the throne. He can't be dethroned. Boy, ain't you glad of that? Ain't you glad of that? He can't be dethroned. He's on the throne. He's above all and over all. Lord of all. Man, we're just coming to... You know, kids, they tell just anything. You know that? They just tell anything. Sister Brenda's back there just grinning. And I got to tell y'all a little funny on the way to church. We was coming across the hills over yonder, and Ryder was in the back, and he said, Mama, you know Miss Brenda? And we said, yeah, we know Miss Brenda. She helps teach Sunday school on Sunday morning. Said, you know she's got a husband? And we said, yes, we know she's got a husband. It's 4-year-old now. Yes, we know she's got a husband. She said, do you know they kiss all the time? I said, her mama said, did you see them kiss? And he said, no, but I know they do. Hey. I say that to say this. I have that same kind of faith about God. I have that same kind of faith about God. He said, preacher, do you think He'll move? I know He'll move. I don't have to see it to believe it. I know He'll move. Amen? I know He's on the throne. He's got my best interest in His heart, in His mind, and what He's wanting to do for me. I know that this morning. I know He's not up there looking down on me with some evil threat. I know He's looking down on me and blessing me and watching over me and guiding my steps. I know that. And out of the mouth of a babe, He showed me that again this morning. I want to take a few moments and preach a little subject that God's laid on my heart. Get back up. You just need to get back up. There's sometimes in life you just got to get back up. You've been knocked down. You've lost a battle. You don't know what to do. You don't know what's going on. And as we've been going through the book of Joshua, I want to speak to somebody this morning through the unction of the Holy Ghost. You just need to get back up. Can I get an amen? Joshua chapter number 8 and verse number 1. I do ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's word. Joshua chapter number 8 and verse number 1, and the Bible says, and the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise and go up to Ai, and see if I have given it into thy hand, the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou did unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall you take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay thee in ambush for the city behind it. So Joshua rose and all the people of war to go up against Ai. And Joshua chose out 30,000 men of valor and said, and sent them away by night. And he commanded them, saying, behold, ye shall lie in wait against the city, even behind the city, and go not very far from the city. But be ye all ready, and I and all the people that are within with me will approach into the city. And it shall come to pass when they come out against us at the first, that we will flee before them, for they will come after us. Till we have drawn them from the city, for they will say, they flee before us as at the first, therefore we will flee before them. And then ye shall rise up from the ambush and seize upon the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. Our Father and our God, as I bow in your presence this morning, Lord, I want to say it's good to be in your house. Lord, I thank you for the a faith that people has to come out to your house still and worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, your word says that there come a time when the true worshipers shall worship. And Lord, I want to be found true worshiping you, Father. Lord, I want to be found at the spout where the glory runs out. Father, I pray this morning you guard my throat and guard my thoughts. Let everything I say be according to the word of God. Lord, I pray if they be a lost man this morning that has come in for whatever reason, I pray he get under old time conviction, Holy Ghost conviction, and give his life to you. Lord, if they be a woman in here that's lost, if they be a boy or a girl that's lost, Lord, I pray by the end of the service, Father, they'll get up from where they're at and they'll get to an old-timey altar and they'll do business with an old-timey God. Father, I do understand you've not changed one minute. Lord, you're still on the throne. You're still God in heaven. You're still the one that can save. Or you're still the one that can draw. You're still the one that'll move. And Lord God, if we need anything around here, we need the move of the Holy Ghost in this place. Father, we love you, we praise you, and we glorify you. I ask you in no other name but the name of Jesus. I pray I be not seen today, but I pray Jesus. I pray Jesus be high and lifted up. In Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated this morning. It's time to get back up. This morning I want to share with you that it is time to get back up. Here as we come in chapter number 8. Joshua has done led the children of Israel in chapter number 6 against a victory at Jericho. But then in chapter number 7, he got defeated at Ai. But then he cleaned the sin out of the camp according to God's command. They were sin in the camp, and Achan had done the accursed thing. And Joshua went and he cleaned up all that was in the camp, and he got it back right. And the anger of the Lord has left the children of Israel, and God has told Joshua, fear not. Failure isn't final with the Father. I want to talk to somebody this morning. It's time that you get back up. You may have failed, but failure's not final with God. Can I get an amen? Hey, He'll give you another chance. He'll give you an opportunity. That's the God that we serve. But this morning, I want you to know, we get here to get back up. It's a fight worth fighting. And you say, preacher, how can you tell me to get back up? How can you tell me that there's a God in heaven? You don't know what I've experienced. You don't know the doctor's report. You don't know what's going on in my life. How can you tell me? You don't know what's going on in my life. How can you tell me to get back up? How can you tell me to get back in the fight? How can you tell me these things? Hey, I tell you that because there is a God on the throne, and He wants you to get back up. He don't want you to stay laid down. He wants you to get up and finish the fight well in your life. I want to say to you, number one, they have God's assurance. Hey, you can get up when you got God's assurance. Can I get an amen? Hey, when you're not relying on yourself, but you're relying on God. Look with me in verse number 1 of the text, if you will. Here's the assurance that they had when he came to Joshua. He said, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. They have God's assurance in verse number 1. And here's what he told Joshua. He said, fear not. He said, don't you dread getting back up. Don't you doubt getting back up. Even though Ai has defeated you, even though the enemy has knocked you down, even though the enemy has talked about you, even though the enemy has killed some of your family, even though the enemy has took out your soldiers, even though the enemy is still breathing down your neck, don't you be afraid of them. You get back up. There's a battle to be fought. I want to say to somebody this morning, you still got a family that's lost. You still got friends that's lost. You still got a church that needs people that'll fight for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's time that we get back up. Can I get an amen? He said, fear not. Don't dread it. Don't doubt it. And neither be thou dismayed. You say, preacher, what is dismayed? That's when you would be anxious or nervous or scared to death. You're scared to death to follow back what God has called you to do. You're scared to death to take back what you've lost. You're scared to death to get back in the game. You say, preacher, what do I need to do? You need to get an assurance of God's mercy and His grace, and that He's going to fight that battle for you. You get back in the game, dust yourself off, and stand back on your two feet and say that there's a God in heaven that loves me and wants His best for me, and I'm going to battle to the end of my days. You say, preacher, what does that mean? He said, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. And here's what he said. He said, take all the people of war with thee, arise and go up. He said, it's time to get up. He said, I want you to arise, I want you to get up, and I want you to go to Ai. The key phrase here that let Joshua know that God's assurance was there is when he says this, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai. At that moment, Joshua knew that victory was on the way. At that moment, Joshua knew that God meant business. At that moment, even though Ai had done defeated them, the children of Israel, Joshua knew that God had given him Ai. Joshua knew what was going to happen. You say, preacher, how do you know that? If you go back to chapter number 6 and verse number 2, he told Joshua, I have given you Jericho. He had done made that promise before, and God's making it again. Friends, can I say to you, when God makes you a promise, don't let no man take it from you. Don't let the enemy take it from you. Don't let Satan take it from you. You stand on God's promises. His promises are yes. Can I get an amen? He says this in Psalm 37, 23 and 24. Man, I want you to know. He says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall. You say, preacher, am I going to fall? There's going to be times in your life that you're going to fall. You're going to fail. But that's not final. You get back up. You get back in the game. You keep fighting for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You get back in the game. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Amen. I see this. Get back up. Why, preacher? Because you got God's assurance that he's not going to leave you nor fail you. Number 2, they had God's approval. Now listen to me. There's one thing to be assured God told you something, But it's something totally different when God gives you the approval, when he gives you the green light, when he says go, when he says do it, when he says get at it. It's something different when God gives you that approval. I want you to get this, if you will, in verse number 2 of the text. And here's what God said unto Joshua. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou hast done to Jericho. And her king, only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall you take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay thee in ambush for the city behind it. You say, preacher, what do you mean his approval? If Achan would have just waited on God, if Achan in chapter number 7 would not got ahead of God, if Achan would have just left, it wouldn't cost him his life. If Achan would have just waited on God, it wouldn't have cost him his wife's life. If Achan would have just waited on God, it wouldn't have cost him his children's life. If Achan would have just waited on God, it wouldn't have cost him everything. I know right now you're saying, preacher, what do you mean? There's a lot of folks that are getting ahead of God and it's costing them everything they've got. It's costing them everything. They have no peace. They have no joy. They have no rest. They have no comfort. They have no assurance because they don't have the approval of God. They're running on what they can do. They're running on their money. They're running on their name. They're running on what they got, and they keep coming up short. You say, preacher, what do I need to do? You need to stop and wait on God. Hey, hit the brakes for a minute. Can I get an amen? Hey, I'm talking about get where God is. If Achan would have waited, but he couldn't. Why? Because greed kicked in. Greed kicked in is what cost him. What he saw costed him. God's timing is key. You said, preacher, what do you mean? If you're going to get back up, you got to get up when God says get up. You got to get up when God says get up. You got to get up from that pew and get up when God says get up. You can't wait on the doctor to tell you you healed. Whoa, glory to God. You can't wait on somebody else to tell you. When God speaks into your spirit, you got to get up. You got to move. You got to move toward God. If Achan would have waited, but he didn't. Why? Because he didn't want to wait on God's timing. Can I say to you now, God said you can take. Look here, what Achan lost his life over, what he lost his life over, now God said get all of it that you want. You ever thought about that? Right now, God may be telling you, no, you can't have it. And on down the road, he tells you you can get all you want of it. Is that not the God we serve? Why? Because it's up to him, not up to you. It's his timing when he says take, and it's his time when he says leave it alone. Look what he says here, if you will, with me in verse number 2. They had God's assurance and they had God's approval. But look at this, at their approval. Now God said you can take the gold. Look in verse number 2. He said you can take the gold. You can take not only the gold, but you can take the silver. You can take the clothes, and you can take the cattle. You can take all of this for yours. You can, when you go to Ai now, you can take all of this. Everything that you want, what you couldn't take at Jericho, now you can take at Ai. Friends, can I say to you, just because God says no now, don't mean it's no forever. Isaiah 40, 31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. When you wait on God, you can get back up and you can get strong in what God has called you to do. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. I say to you, get back up because God's given you assurance. Get back up because God's given you approval. Man, he's approved you. But when you get back up, make sure you get back up under God's authority. There's one thing getting back up when he gives you the assurance that you can get up. There's something else when you say, man, God's approved it. But I know a lot of folks, when God's told them to get up, they wanted to get up and do it their own way. But you've got to get back up and get under God's authority. As a Christian, the only way your life will be where it needs to be with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is when you're under his authority. Not man's authority, but God's authority. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 7. Here's what he said. I want you to get this. I want to look at this. Then you shall rise up from the ambush and seize upon the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. He said God is going to deliver this into your hand. I want you to look at the army that is going to be sent. And Joshua, when Joshua in chapter number 7, when they went to Ai the first time, they didn't talk to God. And you know how many men Joshua sent? Joshua sent 3,000 men to go to the city. Now God is involved, and he said, I want you to take 30,000 and send them behind, and they're going to take the city 10 times more. You say, what? If you'll ask God, he'll give you what you need, and he'll give it in abundance. Can I get amen? Hey, they was going to send 3,000, and they got whooped. God said, take 30,000. Leave no doubt. Leave no doubt that God is on the throne in your life. Leave no doubt when God tells you to move. Leave no doubt when God tells you to get up. Joshua was going to send 3,000. Now God said, send 30,000. 10 times more. Take over Ai. They also send you 5,000, not only 30,000, but take you 5,000 and let them lay an ambush between Bethel and Ai. Why is that? Ai is on this side where they're going to fight, but Ai's got some buddies on the other side there at Bethel. And you know what their buddies are going to do? They're going to attack the children of Israel. So he said, don't you be blind to what's going on. You know you've got an enemy. You know they got friends. Hey, can I say to you, the devil's an enemy and he's got friends. He's got little demons looking to tear you up and to tear you down. You know places to go. You know places not to go. Don't you get fooled by the trickery of the devil. Amen. So here's what he said. He said, I want you to take 30,000. I want you to send them around to the back. I want you to take 5,000. I want them to camp over there. And cast them at Bethel wants to come this way. We got you back. Can I say to you, God won't leave you blindsided. He'll set up what you need, when you need it, how you need it. He put 30,000 over here. He put 5,000 over there. And he said, the rest of us, 600,000. Tell me we don't serve a God's got an army. He said, preacher, I'm in this thing all alone. Don't you kid yourself. You ain't the only Christian. You ain't the only warrior. You ain't the only one battling. God's got an army. The question is, are you part of it? He said, get back up. Don't sit on the sideline. Get up and get in it. You've got God's assurance. You've got God's approval. And now you got his authority. He said, I want you to go, and this is what I want you to do. Folks, I want you to know, we see the army that he has. He said, this is how many that we're going to send. This is how many that's going to take care of the battle that's at hand. Let me show you what else he said. Not only do you have an army that'll protect you, but you have an attack that you need to do. When you're under God's authority, God's got your back. Whoo, glory. But if you ain't under his authority, don't expect him to have your back. If you're living like the devil, don't expect God to take care of you. When you get out from underneath his authority and you want to live it your way, you're in trouble. Don't you listen to this new religion running around. Don't you listen to that false mess. You listen to me right now. You stand by the God of this book, and the God of this book will stand by you. You get away from the God of this book right here and don't expect him to stand with you. Don't expect him to bless a mess in your life when you want to live anyway all through the week and go to church on Sunday and expect God to meet you there. Folks, that ain't the way it works this morning. I want you to know that he has an approval, he has an authority, and we have assurance in God's word. But look at the attack. Look with me, if you will, at the attack that's going to go on. In verse number 18 of the attack, we see the authority, the army, but the attack. And the Lord said unto Joshua, Joshua's been here before. And the Lord said unto Joshua, stretch forth your spear. Sister, he's seen it before. Joshua knew what it was to be in battle. Do you remember when Moses had Aaron and Hur and they went up? And as Moses' hands was up, they won the battle. When the hands come down, they lost. Yeah, but Joshua had nothing to do with it. Who was down at the bottom fighting? There's a time that you fight. Joshua had a time he fought when Moses was up on the mountain. He had to literally fight. But then there's also comes a time that he just has to obey the Lord to fight. Look what he says. He said, and the Lord said unto Joshua, stretch out the spear that is in thy hand toward Ai, for I will give it unto thy hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that he had in his hand toward the city. And the ambush arose quickly out of their place, and they ran as soon as they had stretched out his hand, and they entered into the city and took it. And hasted and set the city on fire. When them men turned around and they got wondering what was going on, the city was done burn up. The city was done gone. They turned around to go back and they done took it over. They done took over what had defeated them before. Folks, I want you to know there's some things in your life that need to be burnt up. There's some things in your life that you've played with long enough that needs to be burned up, took care of, and out of your life, never to be mentioned of you again. If they would have never went back to Ai and fought that fault, Ai would have always been in the back of their mind. Ai would have always been there and they couldn't have got over it. But God said, what defeated you in the beginning, I'm going to send you back to. Folks, I want you to know you'll never go where you need to go to you to fight some things that are in your past. That you fight them and defeat them in the name of Jesus. There's some things in your past. You got to let them know that they're not going to win over you. They're not going to defeat you. They're not going to get over on you. You got to let them know that. You got to be able to pray through. You got to be able to get through. You got to be able to get to where God is. You got to be able to pray through. You got to be able to reach it. You got to be able to get it. You say, how do I do that, preacher? By believing in God Almighty. That believing that there is a God in heaven. That believing that God can. I heard this story told right here. Man, it just touched my soul so much. It touched my soul so much talking about a man. And we're talking about getting up. Folks, I'm telling you what, I've been knocked down so much in my life, and you have too. But man, I don't want to stay down. I want to get up. I may get home and whine and bellyache and lay around, but you won't see me do it, Brother Hagin. Nobody in this church will see me do it. Why? Because I don't want people to see me that way. I want to be a soldier for our Lord and Savior, a soldier that is true. Said this man was in the hospital and he was in hospice care. A true story. And I won't call the name, but this preacher went and he went to meet that man right where he was at. And he said, preacher, he had witnessed to him. And he said, preacher, you don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. He said, man, you're at the end. You're about gone. You ain't going to live very much longer. You're just about out of here. You're just about dead. And he got talking to him. And he said, preacher, did you know that I was an alcoholic? And the preacher said, thank God he saves alcoholics. Can I get an amen? Thank God he saves alcoholics. He said, you telling me that God can save a man that drunk every day of his life, laying here with cirrhosis of liver? And he said, he sure can. He can save you right where you're at. There ain't nothing God can't do. He said, preacher, I got another for you. He said, what is that? He said, I've killed a man before. Do you think I can get forgiven for that? He said, yes, you can. Do you remember over there in the Bible a man named Paul? He was Saul at one time. He had committed murder. He had killed folks, and God forgave him. He wrote 13 books of the New Testament. You know him, don't you? And that man started getting upset. His blood pressure started rising up, and the nurse come in and said, sir, you're going to have to get out of here. He done got excited. You're getting him nervous. You're getting him upset. And he said, man, all I want you to do is ask God to forgive you. All you have to do is admit you're a sinner. All you have to do is get under the authority of God and let him come into your life and save you. That's all you've got to do. Said that preacher went home that night and he got under such a burden for that man and they couldn't meet the next morning to 8:00. And he got up, Brother OJ, and he went back to that room where that man was on hospice care. And when he went up there, he looked in and the bed was empty and there was nothing there. And that man kept telling him, I can't get through. I can't get through. I can't get through. I can't get through. When he wanted him to pray, and said he went back that morning and he went in and he looked around and the man was gone. And he asked that nurse, he said, where's that man at? He said, oh, he died at 3:33 this morning. He died. He's no longer here. He's gone. And said that preacher felt, man, what a fool, what a failure I was. I should have done more. I should have done more. I should have tried to get him back in the game. I should have done more. There's somebody here right now. You got family. If you could just do more for him, if you could just do a little bit more. Folks, you just keep planting seeds. You don't know when it's going to bloom. Said the preacher dropped his head, going to walk out. And boy, I've dropped my heads many a times. Brother Riley fell like a failure. Said he got walking down that hall and that nurse stood out and said, hey, was you in here yesterday? He said, yes, ma'am. Hey, was you that preacher that was praying with him? He said, yes, ma'am. He said he, on his deathbed, he thought you might come back by to see him. He said he wanted to tell you something. He said, what's that? He said, just tell him I got through. Just tell him I got through. Folks, I'm telling you, when I lay this body down one day, God's going to lay it down. Just let him know I got through, Brother Chad. I got through. I didn't give up. I stayed in the game. Why, preacher? Why? Because I had God's assurance on my life. I had his approval and I got under his authority. Nothing to do with me, but all with God. They defeated Ai and they're fixing to hang the king. They're fixing to hang the king. You keep reading your text. They're fixing to hang this man. They're fixing to take care of sin. They're fixing to take care of the ones that's against. They're fixing to hang this king. He said, preacher, what do? They go out bragging? They go out boastful? No, they didn't go out bragging and boastful. They was under God's assurance. They was under God's approval. And they was under God's authority. And now they're fixing to go build an altar. Ooh. I wonder how many altars you got in your life that needs to be tore down and a new one resurrected. His name's Jesus. I've got one altar in my life, and his name's Jesus Christ. He is my high priest. He's my king. He's my Lord, and he's my Savior. And I'm going to be able to make it through because of the blood of Jesus Christ. I want to show you this right here. This is very important. Don't you forget it. If you're going to get back up, you're going to have to get to the altar. You're going to have to get to the altar. You're going to have to get to Jesus. If you're going to get back up. Now listen, you may be in here this morning and you may be as low can go. You may be at the very bottom. You all look good and clean and spiffy. But he's not looking on the outside. He's looking on the inside. You know what? I could clean up and do good, do everything, and the next morning my mama say, what's wrong with you? I said, what you talking about, mama? She said, I know you. What's wrong with you? I said, mama, ain't nothing wrong with me. What are you talking about? She said, you being quiet. You ain't saying nothing. That ain't you. I said, ain't nothing wrong with me. She said, what'd you do last night? Nothing. She said, you lying to me. Mama, I ain't lying. Folks, can I say to you, I got somebody a lot more nosier than mama in my life. That's the Holy Ghost. He ain't nothing but a nitpicker. He'll nitpick you to death. You try to live any way you want to live, do what you want to do. He will. If you are saved, born again, washed in the blood of Jesus, if you are born again believer by the blood of Jesus, he'll nitpick you to death. He won't let you live like you want to live. You say, I can do what I want to do, when I want to do, and how I want to do it. Well, he ain't living inside of you. Huh? He ain't living inside of you. If you can do what you want to do in any way you want to do it and you don't care, Holy Ghost ain't living inside of you. Why? Because he takes over in your life. Let me show you this. When they got under authority, they built an altar. I want to ask you this morning, when's the last time that you've been to an altar? You say, preacher, I went there when I got saved. I really don't see no need of going back. I beg to differ. I say you need to get at the altar. I say this church needs to be found in the altar. Said they went and built an altar. They went and built an altar. Not to raise up to brag on themselves, but they went to build an altar for the Lord God of Israel to show that he is the one that gave them victory in their life. When you start telling your testimony, how many I's are in it? I did, I did, I did, I did. That's not a victory. There's so many I's in your testimony, that's a defeat. Let me show you what they did here. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 30, 31, and 32. We'll just move on for sake of time, and we'll get on down here to verse 30 and 31. Joshua chapter number 8, verse 30 and 31, the Bible says, Then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses. And let me give you this. I want to stop right here. I don't want to overdo it. They built the altar unto God of Israel according, catch your Bible there, catch the word, according. They built it according to the book. They built it according to how they were supposed to build it. They built it correctly. Read your book here in verse 31 of your Bible. As it is written in the book of the law of Moses, I want you to get this. If there's anything you get out of this whole message, you remember that the altar is important in your life. How it's built, what you're serving, what you're worshiping is important in your life. An altar of whole stones over which no man had lifted up any iron, and they offered thereon burnt offerings unto the Lord and sacrifices of peace offerings. You say, what's the big difference and big deal in how they built the offering? Number one, let me give you this. It's by God's doings, not man. Ai is defeated. When they built this altar, he said, I want you to go get natural stones. I want you to go get just regular stones. I don't want you to cut them. I don't want you to break them. I don't want you to bring any iron against it. Read your Bible. An altar of whole stones. I want you to bring the stone whole. I want you to bring all of it. I don't want you to bring a little. I want you to bring it all. Does that not sound like salvation? When you come to God, you come to the altar, you bring it whole. You bring it all. You don't bring pieces. You bring, oh, glory to God. Ooh. No man had lifted up any iron. He said, I don't want you to try to fix it. You bring it whole. I will fix it. It's by God's doings, not man. It's by God's grace and not man. It's by God's authority and not man's. Thereon burnt offerings unto the Lord and sacrifice peace offerings. Did you know that an altar is for sinners? Those who acknowledge their sin and come unto the Lord of God, come unto the Lord God Almighty. Their attention is drawn away from Ai and the battle they just won, and it's drawn to the altar to show their rededication unto God. To show I'm serious about getting back in the game. I'm serious about getting back up. I'm serious of what God's called me to do. For a child of God to get back up. For a child of God to get back up. It isn't over. All you must do is get to the altar. Get under God's authority, God's approval, God's assurance, and you will see the victory, child of God. Just get back up. Just get back up. Folks, if I can tell you anything this morning in my life, is we just need folks to get back up. It don't take long to get beat down, burdened, discouraged. You say, preacher, how am I going to get back up? The only way you're going to get back up is in this altar. The only way you're going to get back up is get back in this altar, get on your face before an almighty God. Come on, brother. The only way you're going to do it is get back in this altar and get on your face before an almighty God and say, God, I need your approval. Hey, don't be watching him. Don't be watching him. Hey, worry about yourself. Don't worry about him. Don't be watching him. This ain't between you and him. That's between him and God. That's his. Hey, don't be looking at him. That's his and God's business. Hey, he had enough unction about him to get up and come. He had enough unction to get up and go to an altar. He had enough unction to get up and go to a place where he knows he's got a need in his life. Come on, Sister Denise. What about it this morning? Right where you're at, and you say, preacher, I want you to know. Hey, don't tell your preacher. You tell God what's going on in your life. You tell God what's going on. You tell God about the sin. You tell God about the burden. You tell God what's going on. You tell God this morning. You have to get back up and get to an old-timey altar and do business with an old-timey God. He said, preacher, how would it work? That's the only way it works. When we're on our face before God, begging God, pleading with God. It ain't got nothing to do with man, nothing to do with the preacher. It's only between you and God. It's got nothing to do with anybody else. It's between you and God. Folks, your eternity's betting on this. What you believe is betting on this. And Jesus Christ is here today. We don't come to a carpeted altar. We come to the altar, and His name's Jesus. I want to ask you to stand this morning. Where are you at this morning with Jesus? When was the last time you said, preacher, I need to get back in the game? I need to get back up. As we sing this morning.